Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
And he set it up very well, hasn't he, for a little bit of analysis on that bombshell announcement by Leo Varadkar that he's to step down as Fine Gael leader and will leave the office of Taoiseach. It was a seismic political resignation. Let's talk to Hugh O'Connell, who's deputy political editor with the Irish Independent, from our Cork studio, Teresa Reedy, who's senior lecturer in the Department of Government and Politics at UCC. Let me get a brief initial reaction from you both, starting with you, Teresa Reedy. What did you make of it?
I mean, I think it was quite a surprising announcement. It was certainly not expected. At the same time, when you take one step back from it, you know, there have been rumblings in the background. And definitely, if you evaluate his second term as Taoiseach, I don't think that Varadkar really ever got into the groove or showed the kind of an excitement and perhaps even gravitas of office that he had with his first term. And I think to that sense, we can explain it, but it's still a surprising decision today.
Okay, Hugh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was genuinely a political earthquake, genuinely a shock to the political system, to Fine Gael, and to everyone who works in Leinster House, I think, and the wider public. But and it's something that cuts through, I think. And I think, you know, the public are now reckoning with the fact that there'll be a new Taoiseach by, you know, early April, which is certainly not something they would have expected as recently as yesterday. I do think that, you know, looking back now, as Teresa referenced, the signs were there in terms of his, you know, his second term perhaps not going as well as his first term in the Taoiseach's office, and I'm sure we could discuss that in a bit more detail, but certainly a huge feeling of shock, in this house today.
And among who? Fine Gael, TDs especially, is that it?
Yeah, I think everyone, Cormac. I mean, to, you know, opposition TDs, staffers, you know, government TDs, government senators, all very, very surprised at this turn of events. Certainly were not expecting it. There was no signs. This was kept very tight. Only my colleague Fionnán Sheehan was able to break it a few minutes before Varadkar emerged into the courtyard of government buildings this morning. There had been rumours circulating since early this morning that something was about to happen, and it was, I think, as the quote was earlier, a political earthquake in the offing. But you know, there was all sorts of speculation. Maybe a general election was about to be called, or something like that. But
and then there was speculation after he spoke as well, because Leo Varadkar himself spoke about the speculation around a quote unquote real reason for his decision. Are people speculating about that then today?
Yeah, look, there's always going to be speculation about stuff like that, but I mean, I think for the lack of any other compelling reason at this point, and I emphasise at this point, I do think we have to take the Taoiseach's words on their merits, and we have to assess the fact that he said that he doesn't believe he's the best leader for the party going into the next election.
Okay, and we do have a Euro and a local election campaign in the running now. Can I come to Teresa Reedy on the immediate political ramifications of the announcement today, in your opinion?
Well, it will be a bit dislocating for the candidates for the upcoming local and European elections, because once St. Patrick's Day and Easter were out of the way, we are effectively into the campaign proper for those elections. Whereas, in fact, now what we're going to have is a really intense, most likely, contest for the Fine Gael leadership. And then we will have a new incoming Taoiseach, and all of that will overshadow preparations for the local and European Parliament elections. And there are practical preparations the parties have to do, down to which leader you put on the literature, which leader you put on the posters around the country, which slogan you're going to use. So all of these decisions, they're just practical decisions, will now have to be put into abeyance.
And there could have to be a mini reshuffle as well.
I mean, there'll have to be at least one reshuffle, in the sense that Mr. Varadkar has made it very clear that he's leaving the cabinet. Mm-hmm. So somebody else will be stepping up. And so there'll be at least a small or reorganisation. And you'd have to suspect that any incoming leader would use an opportunity like this to reorganise the front bench a little bit more widely on the Fine Gael side, at least, as because this is their kind of one opportunity to do that, and to kind of pitch a new and present a new picture to the electorate, both for the local and Europeans. But I mean, we are, any way you look at it, kind of 8 to 11 months out from a general election. So, you know, there's going to be a lot hinging on that kind of immediate step into the Taoiseach's office.
Unless the rumblings start growing louder, and you heard Barry Lenehan's report, Hugh, of the need for a general election.
Yeah, look, I do think what's happened today makes this coalition inherently more unstable than it was before today. But, you know, the Taoiseach rather was very clear earlier that he wants the government to go the full term. I think Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader, is of a similar view. And I don't think, notwithstanding some of the grumbles that Barry Lennon is picking up, and I think I'm picking up as well in Leinster House today, like, I don't foresee that the election of a new Fine Gael leader would necessarily precipitate a groundswell of opinion within the coalition parties that there should be an immediate election. I mean, there's no doubt the opposition want an immediate election, but whilst the government has a majority in the Dáil, they'll be able to stave off that prospect. But really, look, ultimately, the decision around the next general election is entirely at the discretion of the Taoiseach.
Whoever that Taoiseach will be.
Whoever that Taoiseach may be. And they may have a particular idea that it might be best to go to the country to get a mandate.
Well, before we get to that question, Hugh, let me ask you the $64 million question to you and Teresa. Who are the front runners to be leader of Fine Gael now? Let's start with you, Hugh.
Well, the clear front runner is Simon Harris. I mean, anyone I've spoken to in Fine Gael today believes that Simon Harris is the front runner. The bookies have him as the odds-on favourite. Even prior to all of this, when I was, you know, reporting on Leo Varadkar's future last summer, when there was some murmurs of discontent around his leadership, the consensus within the party was that Simon Harris was streets ahead of any other potential contender. But a couple of things have changed since then. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pascal Donoghue's name is mentioned as well in dispatches, and obviously he's not going to the IMF, as had been thought might be the case, that obviously emerged last week. So he may come back into contention, even though he has said before that he isn't interested in the leadership of Fine Gael. Simon Coveney ran against Leo Varadkar seven years ago now, nearly 7 years ago, and may still harbour ambitions in that space. And obviously Helen McEntee has also been mentioned as well, and has made no secret of her own ambition. Okay. But Harris is the clear front runner at this stage.
So Teresa, do you want to add to that list, or who is most likely to succeed from that list?
Well, I would just say that I was listening to Liveline this evening, The Pulse of the Nation, and Pascal Donoghue was marginally ahead in the discussions there, and they're not to be entirely discounted. I mean, I completely agree with Hugh. He hasn't shown very strong inclination of putting his name forward, but this is an enormous moment. There is a potential opportunity here for him to become Taoiseach. So the context has changed quite significantly now. So I think he is somebody whose interests are going to have to be declared very quickly. And it could potentially influence the kind of positioning of other candidates. Like, to some extent, I'm sitting here in Cork, but I think Simon Coveney is a little bit of a spent force at this point. He has faded into the background. Mm. And indeed, he hasn't
certainly
shown...
He would disagree with you without question.
He would, but I don't think he has really been, to the forefront of campaigns, and he hasn't certainly been positioning himself as somebody who's really ardently pushing for the leadership in the way, for example, that the other Simon has been. Simon Harris is really very visible in politics and political life, and has made no secret of his ambitions in that regard.
Okay.
So I think, in that sense of the word, if we're going to pick a Simon, I'd say Simon Harris is by some country mile to the fore, but I wouldn't discount Pascal Donoghue yet, or Heather Humphreys.
Well, do you hear this? That's how quiet all of those names have been since the announcement for Leo Varadkar. Look, it's been a great conversation, and all the dominoes that will fall now, you've put your finger on them. Hugh O'Connell of the Irish Independent and Teresa Reedy of UCC, thank you both very much indeed.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, you're welcome back. We heard political reaction to Leo Varadkar's resignation from Fine Gael, the Green Party, Sinn Féin, Independent TD, Michael Healy Ray, so far on this Drive Time programme. But for some further expert analysis, I'm joined now by Teresa Reedy, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Government and Politics at UCC, and by former Fine Gael Minister Ivan Yates. You're both welcome. You're welcome back, Teresa. Ivan Yates, you're welcome to the programme. What do you make of it all, Ivan, to you first of all?
Well, first of all, there is, when the shock has subsided, because there was no internal pressure on Leo within the parliamentary party to resign. There was 18 months ago some talk about whether he was the right person to lead into the 24 election. That had subsided. People who weren't interested have decided to head for the hills. So there was total shock. That shock has turned to some fury, I think, because we're 8 weeks from a local and European election. This is not perfect. There are hundreds of candidates all over the country whose fate is very important to them and to the party. And to be quite frank about it, with selection conventions, director of his elections appointed, even with the general election, I think the feeling will now be that a new party leader has to be in place by the Ardesh on the 6th of April.
And that's what they're promising.
From what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what they're promising.
And what I'm hearing is that the closing date for nominations will be within 7 days. And I think there's the prospect, I'm not saying it'll happen, but there is the prospect that Simon Harris might be unopposed. And I think that...
Well,
that
I tell you, Simon, or Ivan, it doesn't sound like that based on what we've heard on RT Radio so far today. For example, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill refused to rule herself out when I asked her numerous times.
Yeah, no, I heard that interview. She didn't say she was standing. I don't think she has much support, to be honest with you. She was only elected in the last general election. I don't know, some of the candidates mentioned, you know, Hildegard Naughton. It's just not credible,
to
be honest with you.
Pascal Donoghue?
Pascal Donoghue is very interesting. I think Pascal Donoghue and Simon Coveney are in a very unfortunate situation now, because I think they were hemming and hawing whether they could or should stand in the next general election. And now it will be make up your mind time. They'll never get a better opportunity to get out of politics, and they may well. These things have a huge domino effect, and things can happen very quickly. I think that the reasons why Simon Harris won, he has cabinet experience, he's 37, he might energise the party, and I'm not carrying a candle for him, but he has a safe seat in Wicklow, and he desperately has been actively looking for the job. That isn't the case of anyone else, except maybe Jennifer McNeill. So at the end of the day, there is a party management issue. This is not like you have a long run up to another election. We're right in it.
Do you want to pick a fight with Ivan Yates or Teresa? Is he right in what he says about Simon Harris?
I mean, I think there's a rather important position available at the end of this, and I'd be a bit surprised if there was no contest within Fine Gael for that. In fact, it would probably add to the kind of sorry tale of woes that Fine Gael has, you know, with a large number of departing TDs. And if there was only one person who wanted to take over the top job, I think it probably wouldn't be. It wouldn't say a good thing about the party anyway. At this particular juncture,
how do you think the electorate or the public would view it?
I mean, I think we have to be a little bit cautious about a lot of the kind of internal leadership contests that take place in parties are bubble debates, and they play out really only kind of in the final stages in terms of who emerges victorious for the public. I don't think the public are as engaged in internal party debates as perhaps the media and those of us interested in politics.
What I mean is, given the various crises facing the government, from health to health, housing to homelessness to now immigration, for example, and that there's effectively a coronation, if that were to happen, would that be viewed very well by the public, in your opinion?
I mean, I think it's very important to say that we don't elect the Taoiseach in this country. When any of us go into the polling station, you're not actually making a choice about who will be Taoiseach. You're choosing your TD from your constituency, who is a member of a party, and then it is the Dáil that actually makes the decision around who will be Taoiseach. And to some extent, I think that was a little bit absent from some of the contributions by opposition politicians today, where that kind of the actual structure by which we get the political leaders of our country wasn't really being engaged with or recognised.
In the normal course of events, you do elect people who will elect their leader as Taoiseach. So people have some kind of foresight, don't they?
They do, but it is also not unusual that you get a different leader coming through midway through a coalition term. I mean, I think Leo Varadkar has somewhat kind of created his own mould here. Usually when Taoiseach depart the stage, there's kind of three broad routes out. You either are not elected after a general election, which is like Gareth Fitzgerald or John Bruton. You get some kind of crisis conflagration, maybe Albert Reynolds is a good example, and there's a resignation, or there are kind of long goodbye type exits like Bertie Ahern, say, in Kenny. So I think what Leo Varadkar has done here is quite different. And so to some extent, you know, I think what will happen now is somewhat uncharted territory. But I wouldn't overstate the extent to which the general public will hugely engage with this.
OK, what do you think Fine Gael, Ivan, will be cognizant of when they're picking a new leader? Should it be experience or a female or a Dublin candidate or what?
I think they'd be very cognizant that the last leadership contest took about 8 weeks. There was a hustings procedure. You have 65% of the parliamentary party. They vote first. And then you have 10% of the councillors. And then we had these regional meetings chaired by Gavin Duffy. That isn't an option. We're in an election situation. Mm-hmm. Like, the timing of this couldn't be worse from a party management point of view. And things that would normally be desirable have to go out the window because it's a campaign to be fought. And so therefore, I mean, you've got to have a reality check here that if there is a contest, it will actually be drawn out at least into May.
Yeah. And then the way you're talking then, this is affecting not just Fine Gael, really. It's affecting coalition partners. Do you think they'll be disgruntled in any way on the backbenches in the Green Party and Fianna Fáil?
Well, I've heard some people in those parties say that we signed up for a deal with one Taoiseach, but one party leader. It's not an agreement between party leaders, it's an agreement between parties. And if, God forbid, anything happened to Micheál or decided on a succession plan, the rules are, you know, that you will sign up for the new leader. And I think that Micheál Martin has as much as indicated that he will facilitate a smooth transition. But I don't think it's a good idea that Leo Varadkar, who will be a lame duck Taoiseach, will continue indefinitely. As I say, this is not of the party's choosing. This is very, very ill-timed. Like, if you know, there's some speculation that when Leo appointed Senator Emer Curry in Dublin West to be a senator, one of the Taoiseach's nominees, that he had half an eye that he mightn't stand in the next general election. If that's the case, the timing could not have been worse.
He's not saying he'll stay indefinitely. He's saying the new leader will be in place at the next Ardesh. I just wonder, is it a chance, I'll ask you both this question, is it a chance for Fine Gael to regain rural Ireland? Michael Healy-Ray was saying they've lost rural Ireland on this programme. Teresa, to you first of all on that briefly.
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, right now the kind of front runner is Simon Harris, who I think, whatever about his Wicklow constituency, it certainly projects himself as a kind of urban cosmopolitan liberal. And, Pascal Donoghue, again, Dublin centred. I mean, I guess the only one who's been really mentioned, and it's really only in passing, and that's Heather Humphreys, who has a kind of a solid rural base. So I'm not sure that the contest would kind of really play out in that particular way. But I think this is a critical moment, no doubt about that, for Fine Gael in terms of how it pitches itself to the electorate in 2.5 months, and then more critically in terms of the general election, which is less than a year away, no matter what.
Okay, and briefly, Ivan, how will this go down for Fine Gael, do you think, in terms of the locals of the Euros? Could it impact?
All of this is damage limitation. Fine Gael have been in power for 13 consecutive years. Bertie, Maggie Thatcher and everyone else found it very hard to sustain a fourth term and couldn't do it. So Fine Gael are under no illusion the hand of cards that the new leader will have. It is simply damage limitation. If they got 30 seats right now in the next general election, I'd say a lot of them would take it with the level of retirements. This is a very difficult situation, and they're probably looking to going into opposition. This is why I've said the assumption that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are the sum of the parts for the next government is wrong, because I believe Fine Gael desperately wants to go into opposition to rebuild on a long-term project.
Okay, well, they are our soothsayers in all of this. Ivan Yates and Teresa Reedy, thank you very much indeed.